I don't want anybody downstairs. And that chant, I don't want anybody downstairs during service, okay? Thank you. You can sit in the back, whatever. You can, you know, you can go in the foyer. But I don't want anybody going downstairs, all right? Okay, are we on? Okay, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. This is Rabbi Joe live at Ar Yehuda Messianic Congregation, where the Messiah is King, Yeshua. Hallelujah. We want to welcome you. This is the lovely Diane on my right here. And we have the handsome Anthony Cody, Mr. Anthony Cody himself, the King of the Midrash right there. And he'll be Midrashing later on this morning. And we just want to welcome you. We've got the lovely Carol Green in the back there, our master of audio video, Mistress. She's the lady of the audio video. And then we have the handsome Isaac Bell, Mr. Varsity football player for his high school, helping out with sound and audio. And then there's everybody else who worships, and we welcome them when they trickle in. So we're going to start with Shabbat Shalom, and just tell us when you're ready, Carol. Volume monitors up a little.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Rav Simcha, Rav Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Rav Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha. Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom. Welcome, you folks watching online. God bless you. Everybody say Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Glad you're here with us today. And we've got a great message for you on the bridegroom and the second coming and who is the bride. And we're going to talk about who is the bride today. And there's a whole lot about that we get to talk about. So it's going to be just hang in there. I'll be about 12:20, 12:30, we'll start that message. So, a blessing of the Messiah, Mr. Cody.
Brukatat and I will hang you melech ha'olam, asher netan land, direct ha'yeshua, Mashiach, Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Can y'all say that? Amen. I guess you can't say that.
Tovu O
Israel, how good.
God Shema, Yirateha. And in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow. There I will fear thy holiness, O Lord.
O Lord, I love the house where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
And the Vishamru on page 45. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasor et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasor et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Od Hili Olam. Vishamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Berit Olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'et haaretz. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Next, pray for Manavu.
Manavu, Aheharim, Ragale, Amevaser. Manavu, Aheharim, Ragale, Amevaser. Mashamia, Yeshua. Mashamiya Shalom, Mashamiya Yeshua, Mashamiya Shalom. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him bringing good news. How lovely
if you want to learn.
Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah. Wendell, would you come and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the salvation of the Jewish people and for the Messianic community here in America?
Thank you this morning, Yeshua, for your people, the Jewish people, Lord, that you have blessed us with as being Gentiles. Lord, help us, God, and be one with them, Lord. Father, we pray for all the rabbis here in the United States, Lord, that has a work for you. They have a work to do, Lord. And we just ask, God, that you watch over them and protect them and send them people, Lord, that will love them, Lord. Send them people to stand with them, Lord, and not walk away when they begin to cleave unto them, Lord. Strengthen them, their homes, their congregations, their synagogues, Lord. Watch over them, Father, and we thank you, Lord. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem this morning, God. You said, Lord, those that love her shall prosper, Lord. But we have to love her, Lord. Help us, God. Help us to stand with Israel, Lord. Help America to stand stronger with Israel, Lord. We need each other, Lord. And Father, I just ask that peace fill Jerusalem this morning, God. Watch over all the rabbis, and we just pray against any attacks of the enemy, Lord. Turn the missiles, the knives, the cars, the suicide bombers, Lord. We thank you for turning them, Lord. Put a hedge around your people, Israel, this morning, Lord. We pray for Rabbi's mother, Lord, this morning. God, that you continue to strengthen her, Lord, and help her, Father. And we just thank you for that. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank
you. Okay, Shema, page 47 in your Siddurs. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך, והיו הדברים האלה אשר נוחים אצלך היום על לבבך, Vishinataham Levanecha Vidibartabaham Vishiftecha Vavetecha Uvlechtecha Vaderech Uvishach Bechaha Uvakumecha Ukishartaham Liot Al Yadecha Vahayulatotafot Beinecha Ukitavtaham Al Mezuzot Betecha Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Okay, I'm going to ask Wendell to come and help Anthony get out the Torah. Isaac, if you'll come for a second. Ben so Aaron vayomer Moshe kuma Adonai v'yafutzu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion teitse Torah ki mitzion teitse Torah udevar Adonai v'Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Liamo Yisrael Bikdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch et Adonai Hamavorah.
Baruch Adonai
Hamram Ba'ed. Baruch Adonai Rachelam Ba'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bachar bani mikol hamim, v'natan lanu et torato, baruch atah Adonai noten ha-torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples,
and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. Amen.
You can be seated.
Please be seated. Amen.
Okay, we've got a Torah portion today.
If you're seated, stand up.
Today's Torah portion is from Deuteronomy chapter 11 through 16, and it's named Re'eh, and it means you see or see before you. And, you know, tonight, I believe, is the beginning of the month of Elul, and Elul is a month of repentance. It's leading up to the month of Tishrei, which has the high holy feast within it. It's a time to make additional effort as we enter the month of Elul, additional effort to repent and to turn to God. You know, this time also, the 40 days up until the feasts are called Yamin Noraim, which is the days of Ah, or the days of Teshuvah, which is repentance. God is giving us 40 days to get our spiritual house in order. Not our physical house, but it's a call to get your spiritual house in order. The things people don't see. People can see your house, but they can't see your spiritual. They can see your actions and all that, but God sees on the inside. And so we see today Moses begins a dramatic appeal to the children of Israel. He's telling them to choose and obey the mitzvahs or the commandments or the instructions of God. He says, and it's the same thing that we have today, God is setting before us as then as it is today, blessings and curses. It's a blessing. Moses says you will be blessed if you follow God's way. And that's true today. If you follow God's way, you will be blessed. You will avoid a lot of the pain and agony and pitfalls of life. You will still have challenges and things that come into your path that will challenge you, and you will have times that of great remorse and things like that. But God, if you choose God's way, the blessings will be upon you. And if you don't follow God's way, you will get, it will be a curse. You know, really, when you look at sin, sin is really idolatry, because you are not turning to God, you're turning to other things. So the world in itself is idolatry when you look at it. It can be different things within the world. You see, we are commanded. Moses is telling the Israelites today, as he's telling us too, that they are commanded to destroy all objects relating to idolatry. He says, God tells him to tell the Israelites, you are to uproot them and cut down. You know what? When uproot, if you just cut a tree down or a bush, if you don't uproot it, that's digging the roots up. Most likely, it will grow right back. And so it is with sin. If you don't uproot it, it will come back, and it will be even more difficult to remove it the next time around. So God is saying, when you cut the trees down, the reason he's saying cut the trees down, there was only one place in the scriptures that sacrifice was to be done, and that was on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem at the temple. And on the temple then, on that Temple Mount then, there were no trees. God removed them. But when the pagans sacrificed, they went to various hills and mountains. On top of those hills and mountains that had trees, and that's where they would do their sacrifice. So God is saying, cut them down, uproot them, smash the altars, burn down the poles or anything that has any resemblance of idolatry. You are to remove any appearance whatsoever. Do not leave anything. And then Moses shares with them about the three different types of tithes. He's saying the first tithe is Masur Rishon, which is a tenth of all of the produce was to be given to the tribe of Levi. Now, why was the tribe of Levi picked out to receive the produce? It's because when they divided up the land and all the inheritance was done, there was no portion was given to the tribe of Levi. And why was that? Their work was the priesthood, and their work was to work in the tabernacle and later on in the temple. So they didn't have a portion of the land. God was their portion. So we see the second tithe was given based on the Shemitah, and that was Asher Sheni, and that was on that was taken on the years of the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, that the produce was taken, not to appointed place, but it was given is in a celebration there. And it was taken to the, I'm sorry, I said it was taken to a place of worship, which most likely would have been the temple. The third type of tithe was Masur Ani, which was given to the poor. Instead of being brought to the temple, it was distributed to the poor. And also with the poor, if you remember the story of Ruth, she was able to glean from the land. That's how she got, how Boaz, she got his eyes, because she was gleaning in the fields. So in the with the Shemitah and that cycle, sabbatical cycle of the Shemitah, that the poor people could glean from the fields after they cut the crops, they always left a portion for the poor people to come and enjoy the good of the land. That's what it was for. And of course, on the seventh year was the year of the Shemitah, and it was a time of rest. There was no planting, and what grew just grew, and they could take from that. It was also a time that debts were canceled, which was in the seventh year. That's a great business process, because I think a lot of our bankruptcy laws may have come from that, because after 7 years you can take bankruptcy, and it lasts for 7 years. You can get rid of your debts. I don't know if they took this specifically from this, but it is on the seventh year. Any debts that you owed were forgiven. And you see, the Shemitah cycle is a challenge to us today, because when the cycle came, they were called to be generous and willing to help the poor. That could be something we could apply to our lives on an everyday basis, is to be kind and generous and willing to people that are poor and have less than we do. And just to close the Torah portion this morning is from Deuteronomy 15. It says, "The Lord your God will bless you in all of your work, and all you undertake will be in abundance." Shabbat Shalom. Because you're following what he's instructions from the scriptures. Anytime you follow the word of God, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed. Amen. He gets up here. We did the bezo.
And all rise for the closing of the Torah.
Rise for the time.
Anthony told me.
With a joyful heart, too.
Vitzo ta Torah.
Aser samoshe. Lifnei b'nei Israel. Al piyodonai. Bia Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isn't God good? Who's excited about the Lord today? Amen. Are you excited about the Lord? Amen. Thank you. Everybody who couldn't hear a line, Aja was thanking us. It had her 75th birthday last week, and she wanted thanking the congregation and me, Don and I, for helping to make it special for her. So let's praise the Lord for that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Shalom. If you're watching us online, we're glad you're with us. If you've joined us, if you come in late, welcome you, and we're glad you're here with us today. I have announcements, so somebody's honking outside. They must be excited. They must be excited about the Lord. They're honking outside saying, praise the Lord!
Hallelujah!
Whoop glory, as Sam Smith used to say. My shoe. 2, 3, okay. Okay, so we're going to go through the announcements today. We are having, as Anthony said, a little boomy up here. As Anthony said, we're having the fall feast coming up, and we're having a very special event called Sukkot in the Mountains. And we're going to have pictures. We're going to be at a 100-acre campground with hookups for, I don't know, 100 RVs. Electric, water, you can put tents out there and get water and electric, you can camp with a tent, you can camp with an RV, you can camp with a fifth wheel or a tag along, and it's going to be a very reasonable fee. It's not going to be like a real campground fee. It'll be less expensive. It's on. We're going to be doing it with New Life Baptist Church, and they're the ones who have the 100-acre farm, so they'll also be indoors, a very large building. They're going to cook. There's going to be camp cookouts and kosher cookouts, and there'll be breakfast, and we're going to have speakers Friday night. Yours truly will be doing Friday night and Saturday morning, and we have a special guest speaker. Saturday night is youth night, and then Sunday morning, Pastor Bill, who is loves Israel, and he's hosting it, co-hosting it with me. We'll be speaking Sunday morning to close us, and we'll have lunch, and then we'll go conclude by about 2 o'clock on Sunday. So plan for Sukkot. If you have an RV, if you're watching from a long distance, come have Sukkot in the mountains. I'm going to tell you, it is beautiful here in the fall. It is beautiful in Tennessee, and we'll send you pictures. Sign up for our newsletter. If you're watching and you're not signed up, but you're on the web, click on sign up for the newsletter. Right now, the best thing you can do is sign up for the mailing, because we're having some problems with our email right now. But our so we're not able to send you an email right now. That should be fixed by this week. However, if you sign up for mailings, we will send you a paper, and then you'll be able to see what's going on. We'll also be posting information on our website. So I'm excited about Sukkot in the mountains, and want to pray. Miss Dawn has her finally. Everybody say finally.
Finally.
Finally. God, let me just say this: God isn't never. He's not a minute too late or a minute too early, is he?
No.
Well, her final exam is Monday morning. Monday morning at 10. Amen.
Amen.
Her check ride to be a pilot with a major airline, regional airline, is Monday morning at 10. She's had 3 flights this week, and they said, you're ready. She could take it today, but they scheduled it for Monday. So so let's just pray for her. We'll just say a prayer for her right now. Amen. And she's not feeling well. She wasn't feeling well last night. She felt like she was fighting off a cold. So it's no fun to fly when you're fighting off a cold. So let's just lift her up. Heavenly Father, we just lift up our Rebbetzin, and we just pray, Lord, that you heal her. We pray, Lord, that you strengthen her body and heal her, that we just command any infection, any cold, any virus, any bacteria to leave her body. Right now, in the name of Yeshua, we command any infection, any virus or bacteria to leave her body that's not supposed to be there. We just bind the sickness in the name of Yeshua, and we command it to leave. We speak health, life, and victory over our Rebbetzin. We pray for her success Monday as she goes. We pray for her victory as she goes for her check ride Monday. We thank you, Lord, for this long process to come to a conclusion for our family. And I just thank you, Lord, that you do it, Lord. It's not her doing it. It's not me. It's you doing it. And that you give her the mind of Messiah, that she makes the right calls and says the right things and starts the autopilot on time, and that her instructor, she has favor with her FAA examiner and favor with the captain, and that the flight goes well Monday morning, that it's a piece of cake, we pray, it's a piece of cake, and that she'll come home. When she comes home next week, she'll be a bona fide pilot for a major airline, which I will disclose when she passes her test. So hang in there, and I'll let you know. All right. So do we have any other announcements? So today we're going, are we still taking the kids mini golfing? Okay, if it's not raining, we're going to take the kids mini golfing. If you're out there and you live in the area and you want to join us, come on down. We're going to take the kids mini golfing. We have neighbors across from the mini golf who are going to have a cookout for us right after the service. We're going to take the kids over and have a cookout and a few of the adults. They have room for 5 adults and 10 kids. And so they're going to cook out for us, our friends, the Middletons. And they have a lovely home over near the putt-putt. And they're hosting us. And they're going to have a cookout with hamburgers and hot dogs. So if you're watching and you have kids or grandkids or nephews and you want something to do this afternoon, come on down now. Come join us in the next half hour or hour. Come on in. And you can come over with us, and we'll treat you to mini golf, and we'll treat you to a barbecue, to a cookout this afternoon if you're looking for something to do. So and then we'll, as soon as the cookout's done and everybody's belly's full, Uncle Wendell's going to treat us all the kids to mini golf. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then, all right, so any other announcements? I'll be announcing more on the fall feast as time comes. Oh, by the way, Deborah Kleine and Torno will be providing the worship for Sukkot that weekend. She and Vince will be here that weekend to provide worship. And so we're excited about that. Stay with us. Have a great, the Lord's given me a great message on the bridegroom. Who is the bride of Christ, of the Messiah? Who is the bride of Messiah? And today we're going to focus on that. Who is the bride? And we'll talk about the second coming. It's going to be a series because there's a lot of things to look at here. But this is part 2. And so stay with us. If we don't have any other announcements, then I'm going to continue to pray for Crystal Lynn. How's her diabetes?
It's staying level. She's actually on a level 3. She went from a 6 on her Olympic test.
She went from a 6 on her Atlantis.
Atlantis.
Yes. Insulin.
Yeah.
To a 3. She went from a 6 to a 3. This is a little girl who's, 5 years old? She's 5 years old. She was diagnosed with diabetes a couple weeks ago. Her blood sugar was up around 450, and they've gotten her stabilized, and now her Lantus is down from 6 to 3. She's doing great. They're regulating her blood sugar, and we just believe, God, that you're going to completely heal our precious Crystal Lynn, Lord, that you completely heal her of the diabetes and that you heal her pancreas. And we just command that diabetes to leave her body. In the name of Yeshua, we command it to go right now in the name of Yeshua. And we just thank you, Lord, that you heal her and that she produces insulin and you regulate her blood sugar every day for the rest of her life in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Okay, also want to continue prayers for Terry Scott, our friend. For those of you who know what he's going through, he doesn't want me to make it public, but some of you know, we just want to pray, Lord, that you give him a good report, that he gets a second opinion, and we pray, Lord, that he gets the report of the Lord, and not the report of man, but the report of the Lord, And we just thank you, Lord, that his report is good, and that the first doctor's report is not correct. And we just pray for Terry and Anna, that you help Anna as she goes through this with this trial with him, that you strengthen her and encourage her heart. Thank you that you've given him such a faithful and loving wife, prayer warrior. And I also want to pray for Miss Aja. And pray she's had some ulcers come back on her legs, even though she's wearing pressure stockings. So we pray you heal those ulcers, Lord, and help her legs, help her circulation. My mother's 92. She wears pressure stockings, and she has diabetes, but she doesn't get ulcers. So we just pray, Lord, that Aja is 75. She's a lot younger than my mom. She can. We pray that you heal, Lord, these ulcers, and that you increase her circulation, help her, and show her, Lord, if there's steps that she needs to take, show her what she can do to watch her, to prevent these ulcers from coming, Lord. If there's anything she can do, Lord, show her what it is, help her to do it, and we ask in Yeshua's name, amen and amen and amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, well, there is Oneg today, I believe. Is there Oneg today for those who are staying behind? Yeah, okay. So me, Anthony, and Wendell will be going with the kids, I believe. And William, you're welcome to go with us if you want. You're welcome to do it. We have up to room for 5 adults at the Middletons. And then as many kids as come. So I've invited, and lots of hot dogs and hamburgers for the kids. Xavier, you like hot dogs and hamburgers? Woohoo! Who, give it up. Who's going to make hot hamburgers great again? Huh? Who? Xavier, come on up here. Tell us who's. You told me one time, you said somebody's going to make hamburgers great again. Come on up and tell me who. Come on. Oh, he doesn't remember. Well, Xavier said to me, he said, Donald Trump's going to make hamburgers great again. Praise the Lord. So we're going to find out today if that's true. We're going to find out if Donald Trump has actually made hamburgers great again. Now, Chan, that's easier than making the oceans recede. So to make hamburgers great again. So anyway... I'm just joking around. All right, let's take up our tithes and offerings. And with joy and gladness, God will bless you. I've had, one of the very prominent men in town who's given millions of dollars because of our ministry. He learned about Messianic Judaism, and he learned about Israel, and he's given millions of dollars. And he said to me on several occasions, he said, Rabbi Joe, he says, because you taught me about Israel and to bless the Jewish people. And he doesn't need money. He said, God has blessed me exceedingly, abundantly above all that I could hope, think, or ask. So if you're watching online and you don't have a Messianic congregation or you don't have a church, if you'd like to give a love offering, or if this is your congregation online and you'd like to give a tithe, you can do so securely on PayPal. Just hit the donate button there on our webpage. Everything, even though our website crashed, it's all been fixed. It's all you can donate on PayPal, and if you want a receipt, we need you to send us an email or a message on Facebook, because PayPal doesn't give us your address or your phone number. For receiving prayer. It just tells us your name and what you gave. So God bless you as you give. Praise the Lord. Father, bless this offering in the name of Yeshua and the tithes. Bless the givers 100-fold and bless the gifts for your kingdom's glory. In Yeshua's name, we give you the praise. Amen. Okay.
Shana Habaah, Hashem Bahana Vesed, and his book, Horim Nodedal, Yeladim Bahusham, the Amphis Kutal Vesed, and Habay Yitovin Hasadot. O Tire, O Tire, Kamatoniye, Hashana, Hashana Habaah. O Tire, Kamatoniye, Ashana Bashana Haba. Make a great tomorrow, and the vines they will grow, the tangerines will blossom, and the fruit of our hearts will be sweet, and the winds and bring change, clear away the ashes, and his brothers will go forth to meet. Wait and see what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Wait and see what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Men have dreamed, men have died, to make a bright tomorrow, and the vision remains in our hearts. Now the torch must be passed, hope but not in sorrow, and the promise to make a new start. Wait and see what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Wait and see what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Bashana Habaah, Hashem Hamer Pesed, and its poor Tziborim Nodedot, Yeladim Bachushav, Yafes Kutal Pesed, and Habay Toven Hasador. O Tire, Kamato Hiye, Bashana Bashana Habaah. O Tire, Kamato Hiye, Bashana, Bashana.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yeshua. Amen. All right.
Salvation you will bring. Deliver them from bondage, oppression and despair. For we were born for such a time as this. Adonai, Adonai, Elohim.
Before the King, so
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. That song, Esther's song, is a song about preparing Esther to be the bride of King Ahasuerus. And, you know, a lot of people ask, they say, you know, I know people in their 50s and 40s and 60s that want to meet somebody. And my wife says, you know, they can't find a person. And I talk to my wife about it from time to time because we come across people all through the years, you know. I'm not talking about anyone specific, but, you know, when you want to meet somebody and you have the desire to marry or to find a companion, and as you get older, in your 50s, your 40s, you know, 60s, you haven't, you know, either your first marriage didn't work out or you're looking to remarry, Don says, put some work into it. Put some effort. Seriously. You know, I see people that talk about wanting to get married and they don't do anything for themselves. They dress sloppy and they just let themselves go. They get frumpy and all that, you know, and frumpy means kind of sloppy and, you know, I'm serious. If you want to meet somebody, prepare yourself like Queen Esther. Prepare yourself spiritually. Make the Lord your focus. But also, Esther went through a year of beauty treatments before she met the king. You want to meet your king? Prepare your heart spiritually and prepare yourself outwardly as well so that somebody notices you. Amen? You want to be noticed, right? That's just a word, okay? Help yourself. You put some work into it. You want to be a good football player, you got to work at it. You want to be a good math student, you got to work at math. You want to be a good Spanish student or French student, you got to work at it. You want to be a good cook like Julia Child, you got to put sherry in your cooking. And just kidding. Don't put sherry in your cooking. Actually, it burns off the alcohol. But anyway, she would drink half the bottle anyway. But what's next, Carol? Glorious. Okay. Praise the Lord. Good to know.
Awesome in your power and grace.
table, and if you're at home and you have some crackers or matzah or bread, fruit of the vine, some Welch's or Manischewitz, whatever you have and you'd like to use, feel free to get ready. We're going to go to the Lord's table. I'm going to ask Maria and Diane if they would. Actually, I'm going to ask Carolyn. Would you like to serve today? Why don't you come up with Maria and prepare to serve? I'll come down and we'll bless, and then we'll. You have the love of God. You do. Okay. Just wait for me to come back up, if you would. Thank you. I'm on my headset. 2, 3. Anytime I walk away from there, that turned me on, please. Okay. All right. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the middle layer of matzah at Passover, and he broke it. We call it the afikomen, is the proper name in Greek, but in Hebrew it's afikomen. And he took the middle layer of the three pieces of matzah, of unleavened bread, which you can see right here, and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." He also, on that Passover night, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal and he said, he blessed it as we did before, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." So let's all give him thank yous for forgiving our sins. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let's all say the Our Father together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay. All right. Well, I just want to let's just pray for a moment. I know everybody in here knows the Lord, but let's just bow our heads. If you're at home and you don't know who Yeshua, who Jesus is, we're going to give you an opportunity. If God's speaking to your heart today that Yeshua, that Jesus is the Messiah, and he's telling you, he's speaking to your heart, and you'd like to invite him in. You know, somebody said on Facebook last night, they said that it doesn't say in the Bible to invite Jesus into our hearts. But that's what I did when I accepted him. And you know what? He came into my heart. Nobody led me to the Lord. When I came to the Lord in my bed alone 22 years ago, and I was a Jewish guy, I didn't know anything about sinner's prayers. Nobody led me in a sinner's prayer. I didn't know anything about doctrines or anything. All I just said is, come into my heart. I found myself lying in my bed dying. I was dying. And I called on the name of Jesus. I had been reading this New Testament, and something in my head said, call on the name of Jesus. I didn't know who Yeshua was. And it said that this Jesus will save you. This voice, this presence said, you know, call on Jesus. He'll save you. So I just said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And, you know, to answer the man who said that on Facebook, that nowhere does it say to invite Jesus into our hearts, God lives in us. In John 17, it says, he says, Father, I am in you, and you are in me, and they are one in us. Well, let me ask you, husbands, is your wife in your heart, or is she in your butt? She's in your heart. Amen. Is she in your elbow? Husbands, is she in your elbow? Is she in your left leg? No, she's in your heart. My wife is my heart. My wife is my heart. I can't go to sleep at night, and she can't either. If we have a fight or an argument, I can't sleep until we make up. She can't sleep because she's my heart. Okay? And that's how meaningful it is. So if God is love, where does love come from? Your brain? Does love come from your kidney, your liver? It does. Love comes from your heart. Amen? Love comes from your heart, right? Amen. Can I get an amen? Anybody believe that? Or am I the only one who knows what love is? Am I the only one, Carolyn, that knows what love is? Love comes from your heart. And you feel the peace of God in your heart. You feel the joy of the Lord in your heart. Right, Anthony? The joy of the Lord. When you're convicted of sin, you feel it where? In your heart. Do you feel it in your lumbar spine? You feel convicted of sin in your lumbar? Do you feel it in your neck, in your windpipe? No, you feel it in your heart. You feel it in your heart, because everything that has to do with if God is love, it's in your heart. Amen. So we're going to pray a prayer. If you'd like to ask Yeshua to come into your heart, you can do it right now. Okay, just pray with me. Dear God, just say these words. Dear God.
Dear God.
I've messed up. I've blown it. I don't keep your commandments. I can't even name all 613 positive and negative commandments in the Old Testament. And there's even more in the New Testament, and I can't even name all of them. I can't keep the sacrificial system for those who think they're under the law and believe they keep Torah. I can't keep the sacrificial system, and neither can they. There's no temple to make an offering. And so, Lord, we all fall short of the glory of God, and we've all messed up. And just pray with me and say, I messed up. I've broken your law. And your standard is perfection. How do we go? We have two ways to go to heaven. Be perfect, or invite Jesus into our hearts. So I want to ask you now, if you just say, Dear God, I invite Jesus, Yeshua, come into my heart, live in me, cleanse me, wash me, let my heart feel your peace, let my heart feel your joy. And when I'm naughty, let my heart feel that conviction.
Let my heart feel that conviction.
That I need to ask forgiveness. Give me a tender heart, O God.
Save me.
And put my name in your book of life.
Now
and forevermore. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us and you meant it, it's not what you said, it's what's in your heart. It's not what's in your head, it's what's in your heart. If you meant it, then let us know. Email us, message us on Facebook. Contact us, send us a letter. I have a gift for you. God bless you today. Folks, prepare yourself, prepare your hearts to come to the table of the Lord. If you have sin to confess, I suggest you confess as you come and receive God's grace. He wants to give you His grace. Come to the table of the Lord, the Shulchan Adonai. Amen. Okay. Okay. All right. Here's a cup for the rabbi. There's a piece of bread there. Oh, nice piece. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ladies, drink the Kool-Aid.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you. Crazy rabbi. Thank you. Okay. Hallelujah. As we say in Jewish and on Fiddler on the Roof, L'chaim, to life in Yeshua. L'chaim be Yeshua. All right. I'm going to pray for the kids up here. And praise God, I'm healing up good. My leg's getting stronger. I've been able to bend over and pick things up. For those of you who don't know, I tore my quadricep on my right leg a month ago. And it's caused me to have to go through rehab, and it's been very painful, but I'm rehabbing good and getting strong. Hallelujah. And and my ability, yesterday I bent down, did something I normally couldn't do. I bent down to pet a kitty and my leg normally didn't go down that far. And I realized it when I went down because I felt pain, but it was okay. It wasn't too much pain. It was just a little pain. And I said, I'm fine. I'm going to be okay. And I'm okay. Nothing happened. I pet the kitty, and my leg was okay. It was like God was showing me, you're getting better, buddy. So are we on there, Mr. Isaac? What's that? Well, you say... Put her on and I'll say hello. Praise God. You just give me the thumbs up. All right. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. I want to welcome our friends on Facebook Live. Everybody, welcome the friends on Facebook Live. Hello, Facebook Live. This is Rabbi Joe. And today's message is The Bridegroom and the Second Coming, Part 2. I just want to say, if you don't have our newsletter... This month's newsletter was Jesus and the Jewish Wedding Ceremony Part 2. Last month was Jesus and the Jewish Wedding Ceremony Part 1. You can get these newsletters. They're teaching newsletters. They're not just pitches for money like most things that you get in the mail saying, oh, we fed 20 people and now send us your money. These are teachings. You want to learn about the Jewish wedding and how it applies to our Savior, and how it applies to the Jewish people, how it applies to you, sign up for our newsletter, and we'll send you. I'll send you copies of the Jewish Wedding Ceremony, Jesus and the Jewish Wedding, Part 1 and 2. So you can sign up online at www.forzionsake.org, and we'll be happy to send you that those teachings, and you can get them if you... follow me at the Messiah Conference or at other conferences, but you don't get my mailings. This is a way that you can do it. Just go online at our website and sign yourself up, okay? We're glad you're with us today. And let's pray for the word of the Lord. We'll pray for the children. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true, that your word does not return void. We thank you, Lord, that your word is holy, and that your word endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that you give me your word and give us the victory today. Thank you for your anointing and your power that You make things clear with clarity and make me a vessel, Lord. Empty me of Joe and speak to the people directly. You speak to them, Lord, and bind the enemy. Lord, I pray for the children. I thank you, Lord, for our kids, that they are the arrows in our quiver. They are the beginning of our strength. They are our heritage, our future. They are the future of the world. Thank you for our kids here. We bless them today, Lord. We pray for a great school year for our kids. We pray for success in academics. We pray for success in sports and all that they put their hands to, Lord, for health. Pray for protection over them, especially those going out on the football field and the lacrosse field or whatever, basketball. We just pray, Lord, for their protection as they go out and do battle on the athletic fields. Thank you, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you just help them realize the dreams of their heart, the desires of their heart. The heart is so central. My dreams were always in my heart, and God has made many of my dreams come true, almost all of them, and I'm so grateful. So, Lord, bless our children. Prepare their helpmates in life today, even for them even now, and prepare them for their helpmates, for their future helpmates. Help them to maintain their purity until the day when they come together and marry matrimony, Lord, with their helpmates. Prepare each one and help them to be pure. I pray in Yeshua's name, help them to bless their parents, be obedient, and to love their parents and honor their parents. Because your word says, honor your parents that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. In Yeshua's name. Now, thank you for this word. Amen. So, as I said last week, today I'm going to focus on who is the bride, but I want to review a little bit. I said last week I had an encounter. I'm going to just do a little review quickly here. I encountered a man. I was getting therapy, and he's a friend of mine. He does therapy. He's been working with me on and off for 12 years or so, 11 years. Anyway, so we were talking, and the Lord had laid this scripture on me in Matthew 23:37-39. It says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left desolate to you. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Can somebody look up the Jewish wedding ceremony on a phone or a tablet? Just Google the Jewish wedding ceremony. And how it begins. If you can find one, just let me know. Just raise your hand, and if you find it. So I didn't bring my prayer book today to show you, but in the traditional Jewish wedding ceremony, the rabbi says at the very beginning, right where I'm standing here at the altar, there wouldn't be a podium, but he'd be at the altar. There'd be a canopy, and the rabbi would be under the canopy, and he'd stand here, and he'd say, "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And at that point, the bridegroom would begin to walk down the aisle with his mother and father. And if his mother or father were deceased, you know, somebody would walk him, escort him down the aisle. Amen? And so the bridegroom would come down the aisle, and he would stand next to the rabbi, and he'll wait for his bride to come. And so the rabbi says, "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai," and the bridegroom comes. And that means, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. So I want to talk, that scripture is right here in Matthew 23. He says to Jerusalem, Yeshua says, "I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So he's saying two things to Jerusalem. I'm going to prove this to you. He's saying two things. Number one, he's saying, "I am God." How do I know that? Because if you turn to Hosea chapter 2, prophet Hosea in chapter 2, thank you, Lord. I already have a cook. Where is Hosea? Turn right at Ezekiel. Okay, there it is. I got Hosea chapter 2. Okay, so in Hosea chapter 2, in verse 19, God's speaking to Israel, and I encourage you on your own time to read the whole chapter 2 and 3 of Hosea. God says, he did this at Mount Sinai. He made a covenant with Israel, a marriage covenant at Mount Sinai. And he gave the Sabbath as a ring. The word he said in Exodus 31, he says, I've given you the Sabbath as an oat. The word in Hebrew is oat. It means like a wedding ring, a token. The Sabbath is the token, the promise that he's going to come back for us. So those who keep the Sabbath, there's a hint there, those who keep the Sabbath are the ones he's saying are his bride. Okay, that's number one. But number two, he says here in Hosea 2:19, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me. He's talking to Israel. You can read chapter 2 and chapter 3. And, you know, I'll just say this. In the beginning, he says, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you, Israel, to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. Okay? It will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens and they will respond to the earth. And he goes on. And you know, at the beginning of Hosea 2, he lets Israel have it. He's angry with her because she's been adulterous. And he talks about stripping her naked in verse 3 and exposing her as on the day she was born. He says he will make her like a wilderness, like a desert. He'll slay her with thirst. He'll have no compassion on her children, he says, of Israel in verse 5, in chapter 2, verse 4 of Hosea. He says in verse 5, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me bread and water, wool and flax. He says, therefore I will build up a hedge of thorns and I will build a wall against her that she cannot find her paths. She will pursue her lovers. And he talks about the Baals. He says, verse 8, he says, for she does not know that it was I, the Lord, who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the oil, and lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. So in other words, they worshipped the false god, the bull, Baal. And, you know, the Israelites came out of Egypt where they worshipped the cow. Cow was a prominent false god of Egypt. So the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they tended to, remember they built the golden calves in 1 Kings 12, they built the golden calves when they strayed from David's kingdom, from King Solomon's son, Rehoboam. They went up north, the 10 northern tribes, and they built calves at Dan and Bethel, golden calves, and they worshiped the golden calf. Remember in Exodus 32, Moses went up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted, and God gave him the two tablets with the Ten Commandments on them, amen? And Moses came down the mountain, and the people said, where is this Moses? They say, he's been gone so long, how do we know he's coming back? And they said to Aaron, fashion us a golden calf that we may worship. Fashion us a god that we may worship it. So Aaron said, give me your gold earrings and your rings. He took all the people's gold, and he smelt it, and he fashioned it into, what do you think? A golden calf. Amen? I don't know. I've never been ticked. You know, the people in India worship cows. They let them run all over the place. I prefer to eat them as steaks. Hamburgers are due. I like a good burger, but I prefer a good steak. Amen? Can I get an amen there? Amen. Amen. All right. But they were worshiping cows. They weren't eating them. Anyway, so God was ticked off, and he said he was going to put an end to all her gaiety and her feasts and her new moons and Sabbaths. I'll destroy her vines and her fig trees. But then he does something amazing in chapter 2, verse 14. God says, therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak kindly to her. Then I will give her her vineyards from there. This is after he judges her and after he punishes her for the last 2,000 years or 2,500 years. After Israel's been going astray, he says, I'm going to allure her. When I talked about, I talked about people who want to get married in their 50s and 60s or 40s, about, working on it. This is God saying, I'm going to allure her. He's going to seduce her. He's going to make himself attractive to her. You understand? He's going to put himself to work to draw her to him. You see? To allure someone. You don't allure someone by putting on a football uniform, do you? You allure them by putting on a nice, putting up your hair, having your hair done, putting on a pretty dress, or a guy putting on a fancy suit and a nice tie, getting his hair trimmed, cut, taking a shave. Amen? That's how you allure someone. Amen? You take them out for a nice dinner. I had a guy one time say to me, he was dating this girl. And you ever heard of the concept of being girl dumb? When men are girl dumb, that's when men don't know how to talk to a woman or how to treat a lady. Amen. We call it girl dumb. So this guy was dating, I knew he was a friend of mine, and he was dating this girl, a young woman that I knew. This was 20 years ago. And he was dating her, and so he said to me, we travel, I won't give away, but anyway, I used to hear him on the phone with her, and she'd say to him, I love you, and he'd be around people, and he'd say, ditto, babe. He'd say, instead of saying, I love you, he'd say, ditto, babe, as if to say, I love you too, but instead of saying it, he'd say, ditto, babe. And then one day he said, I'm going to take her out, we'll call her Sally. He said, I'm going to take Sally out for lunch. We're going out for lunch. So I said to him, we'll call him Nick. Well, we'll call him Nick. For nobody we know here, okay? We'll just call him Nick. I said, hey, Nick, do you you intend to pay for that lunch? So I said to him, do you intend to pay for that lunch? He said, no. I said, so let me get this straight. You're taking her, you invited her out to lunch, and you're not planning to pay for her? I said, let me give you a little pointer. She's really going to like this. I promise you. Buy her lunch. You buy her lunch. So the next day he comes back. I said, how'd it go? He said, oh, it was incredible. It was awesome. I said, did you buy her lunch? He said, oh, yes, I did. And she loved it. She loved it. Can I get the fan, please? So anyway, they got married with a little help from Rabbi Joe. Amen? A little help from Rabbi Joe. I don't think she would have been too thrilled if he took her to lunch and didn't buy it for her. What do you think, ladies? Would you marry a guy who took you out and asked you out to dinner and lunch and then didn't pay for you? All right. So here we see God's restoring Israel in Hosea 2. He says, therefore, behold, verse 14, I will allure her. I'm going to draw her. I'm going to put on a nice suit. I'm going to put some cologne on. I'm going to bring her into the wilderness, and I'm going to speak nice, kind words to her. Then I'm going to give her vineyards from there. I'm going to give her gifts. Valley of Achor. What do you give a woman when you want to win her affection? You give her flowers. You give her chocolates. God says, I'm going to give you vineyards. He gives her vineyards, gifts. Give her money. There you go. As in the day when she came up. But you don't want to give that. You want to be careful. You want to save that for after you get married. you get yourself in trouble. All right. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me Ishi, which means my man. Everybody say, my man. My man. So Israel's going to say to God, you're my man. That means you're my husband. You're not just my husband. You're my man. That's my man. That's my woman. When I see my wife, she's not here right now, but she's my woman. She's my wife. She's my good thing. Everybody say, my good thing. Okay, Ishi is another way of saying he's my good thing. God's saying, you're going to call me my good thing. You're going to call me Ishi, my man. Amen? So So I said last week, women, if you're praying, you can call God Ishi, my Ishi. That's a Hebrew word for saying my man, my good thing. Amen? You can call him that. And he says, and you will no longer call me Baali, which means my Baal, my idol. From now on, you're going to call me my man. For I will remove the names of the idols of the Baals from her, so that they will be mentioned no more. And that day I'll also make a covenant for them when the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and the creeping things, I will abolish the bow and the sword and war from the land. That's important there because he's talking about ending war and how he's going to do that. We're going to get to that. If not today, one day we're going to talk about it. And he says, I will betroth you to me forever. So God betrothed himself to Israel. So when he says, and when Yeshua says to Jerusalem, he's really speaking, he's speaking to the whole city, but he's specifically, he's really nailing the rabbis. He's saying, I am the God who betrothed himself to you in the wilderness in Hosea chapter 2. When he says to them, bless, you won't see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, folks. He's telling Israel, I'm your bridegroom. I'm the one who betrothed myself to you right there in Hosea. He's saying, I'm God. That's what Jesus is saying to the Jewish people. I'm not only your bridegroom, I'm your God. Okay, that's number one. Number two that he's saying to Israel is, now, this guy said to me, I said to him, I said, remember my friend, when this started, I told you about my friend who's the Baptist preacher's kid who was giving therapy to me for my leg. And he said to me, when the rapture comes, we won't see the Lord because he'll be in the clouds. So I went to looking, and I looked in Revelation 1, verse 7. Revelation 1, 7. And it says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Wait a second. This guy told me nobody's going to see him when he comes. Now, let's think about this for a second. Okay, what, you know, let me read the verse. He says, Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, Jerusalem included. Every eye. How many eyes is that?
Every
eye. That's right. And even those who pierced him, he says. Ooh. Now, that brings us to another scripture, which we're going to talk about later, But and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him, which brings us to that same other scripture, which I'll get to. So it is to be, amen. So the whole, when he comes in the clouds, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Okay? That's very key. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is with you, who was and is to come, I'm the Almighty. Now, where else do we see that people are going to see him? In Luke 21:27 says, at that time and day, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. When the Son of Man comes in the clouds, he will come with power and great glory. Okay? And verse Matthew 16:27 says, for the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will repay each one according to what he has done. Okay, so there's many spots that talk about the people seeing him when he comes in the clouds, all right? I couldn't find a verse that, if you can show me a verse that says he's coming in the clouds hidden, I'll give you $5. If you can show me a verse, anybody, you can get me a verse that says he's coming in the clouds and nobody's going to see him, I'll give you $5. Now, let me just point something out to you. When the Lord spoke to Jerusalem, okay, and he says, you will not see me again, Jerusalem, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, the wedding's starting. Here comes the bridegroom. God's saying, I'm the bridegroom. Call me back, and I'm coming. Coming up the aisle. Where's the altar? The Temple Mount. Where's Jesus coming back? Jerusalem. Zechariah 8 says, He will dwell in Jerusalem. Zechariah 14 says his foot will set foot on the Mount of Olives. Amen. Zechariah 14 says he will set foot on the Mount of Olives when he comes back. Hallelujah. So he's saying, and where's the altar going to be? At the temple. He's going to rebuild the temple. When he comes back, there's going to be an earthquake. He's going to reshape. He's going to do a HGTV. What are those two? The property brothers. He's going to do a property brothers job on the Temple Mount like you've never seen. He's going to rebuild that temple a la Ezekiel 40 to 47. He's going to rebuild it so fast, you're not going to believe how fast he rebuilds that temple. That is, Ezekiel temple has never been rebuilt. It's never been built. If that's the one he's talking about, he's going to go to the altar in that temple, and he's going to receive his bride right there on the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, Yerushalayim, Yisrael, Jerusalem, Israel. That's where he's going to be married to his bride. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me ask you a question, folks, who say, well, this is after the church will have already been raptured. When he says this to Jerusalem, that they won't see him until they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," because they're Jews, and the Jews are going to be here for 7 years of tribulation, and the church is going to be taken up, and so he's saying it basically. What somebody lady said to me this week is that what it means is he's going to rapture the church first, and then he's going to say to Jerusalem, "You will not see me again." But I got a question for you. There's about 200,000 to 400,000 Christians, evangelicals. TBN is in Jerusalem. God TV is in Jerusalem. Marcus and Joni Lamb are in Jerusalem. Okay? The Crouches go to Jerusalem. Tom Hess is in Jerusalem. Billy Brim is often in Jerusalem. All these famous Christians, they all have places in Jerusalem. And not only that, not so famous Christians. I've been to Jerusalem 15 times, and I've met thousands of Christian pilgrims who live in Jerusalem, or they visit Jerusalem. But let me tell you something. So when he's talking to Jerusalem, he's not just talking to Jews, he's talking to Christians and Arabs. And he's saying, when he says every eye, he's saying, I'm not coming back to Jerusalem or to the whole world until Jerusalem, specifically the rabbis, call me to come back. You got it? Because these people who say to me, "Rabbi Joe, the rapture happens first." Well, what about all the Christians in Jerusalem? Don't they count? What about the Messianics? Don't we count? You know? And he's saying nobody. Nobody in Jerusalem. Jew, Christian, Arab, Messianic. Nobody's going to see him until the leaders call, the rabbis. The hint is, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," until we call for him. So what I'm saying to you guys is, don't take my word for this. I'm just saying, hear me out. Think about what I'm saying. Listen to my message. Listen to last week's message. Study it. Pray about these words, these verses I'm giving you. You've been taught doctrines that I don't think are true, but you know what? Here's the deal. That's okay. Just pray about it. Would you rather stand before God and say, "God, I believed a false doctrine, and I still believe it, even though I'm standing before you"? Or would you rather stand before God and say, "God, I believe what your word said. I listened to your word. I read your word, and I took it for what it said." Would you rather, and what it meant? Or would you rather say, "I believed a doctrine that my denomination stands on because I'm a denominational person, and God, denominations are more important than you"? What are you going to say when you stand in front of God? You don't have to believe me. That's okay. I love you anyway. Just pray. Listen to what I say. Study the word. Go back to my message last week. Watch it. It's on my Facebook page. It's on the For Zion's Sake Facebook page. You can watch the message, part one. Study it, okay? So the question is then now, we come to who is the question of today. I said, well, if Israel is the bride, and Romans 11:29 says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, which means that when God calls you to be something, an evangelist, a pastor, a president, when God calls you to be a husband or a wife, it's without repentance. It's irrevocable. It can't be undone unless he undoes it. You know what I'm saying? He does not. God doesn't go back on his word. God isn't a liar, is he?
No.
Is God's word true?
Yes.
If we can't stand on the word of God, what can we stand on? So when God said that Israel is his bride, and Romans 11:29 says the word of God is without repentance, in other words, it's irrevocable. It can't be changed. So Israel is his bride. Where does the church fit in? Well, that leads us to some interesting questions of what is the church? Who is the church? Where did the word church come from? And what does he say about the church? So first of all, let's look at the word. Let's look at what he says about the church, first of all. And then we'll look at the word church and where it comes from. Okay, and we'll find out. I think we'll be able to put this together. If you have open heart and open ears, you'll hear me. But I want to share some scriptures with you. So he talks about the bride, and you know, in the New Testament. Remember, when you read this book, people, you're reading a 2,000 to 4,000 year old Middle Eastern document. Okay, all you King Jamers out there who think that's the ultimate translation, you're reading a 2,000 to 4,000-year-old Middle Eastern document written originally in Hebrew, then written in Greek, then written in Latin, then written in Aramaic, and written in Aramaic, which is not Hebrew, it's the Syriac. It's what the people in Syria translated into. And Jesus did not, he spoke Aramaic, but it wasn't his primary language. His language was Hebrew. Jesus is a Jew. Jews don't speak Aramaic. Jews, unless they live in Syria, Syrian Jews do. Jews speak Hebrew, okay? So you're reading a 4,000 to 2,000-year-old document that was written by Moses, that was written by Paul, that was written by Peter, that was written by Jude, that was written by, you know, different authors, Nehemiah, you know, Joshua, different authors wrote the books, amen? Amen. Amen. So you're reading an ancient Middle Eastern document translated to English, and so you have to understand what the meaning says. So in this really hinges. So let's see what it says in the New Testament about the bride in English. Let's go to Ephesians 5:27. Let's see what the New Testament says about the bride. Ephesians 5:27. Now today I'm just going to focus on the bride, and I'll make one other point and then I'll close. Okay, I'm just going to focus on the bride. Who is the bride? Now, Revelation 19:7 says, "For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready, and she is to her has been given." Garments of white linen. The white linen represents the righteous acts of the saints. He says, blessed are they who are invited guests to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So here's a riddle for you. The bride has her white garment, but who are the guests at the marriage supper of the Lamb? I'm gonna try to answer that today. Ephesians 5:27. Okay. All right. We'll start in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Messiah also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. Okay, so we see that he says that he might present himself to the church as a bridegroom in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. Okay, so what is a church? Okay, there's a guy, and here's a Bible right here. This, now, go to Matthew 16. This is going to rock your world for some of you. That the word ecclesia doesn't mean church. Everybody say that. The word ecclesia does not mean church. The word ecclesia doesn't mean church. Okay, this is going to change. This is a Catholic situation here that set the church. If you shoot a rocket toward the moon and you're 1 degree off, by the time that rocket gets to the moon, it's going to be thousands of miles away from the moon. It ain't going to hit it. If you shoot a rocket to Mars with a landing craft and you're 1 degree off from Mars, it'll be probably millions of miles away by the time it gets to passes Mars. Probably be in the millions of miles, okay? Or hundreds of thousands, millions. 1 degree off, okay? Peter's confession of Messiah, Matthew 16:13. Now, when Yeshua came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." We can cut that fan, please. He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Yeshua said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my," in English it says church, but in Hebrew, and I mean in Greek, it says ecclesia. Okay, so we're going to find out what ecclesia means and what church means in Greek. We're going to look that up in a second. Okay, he says, but my English version here says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, of hell, will not prevail against it." Okay, and so he's saying, so the Catholics believe that Peter is the rock on which the church was built. But we know that it's not Peter the man, it's the truth that Yeshua is the Messiah, is the rock. The rock is the truth that that Yeshua is the Messiah. The very fact that he's the Messiah, that is the truth that he's going to build his congregation on. Okay? So let's, now there's a man, I have a Bible here. This is the original translation into English. You can look it up. You can order it from Amazon. It's called the New Testament 1526, not 1607, not 1611. It's the New Testament 1526. I can beat you 1611, folks. This is the 1526 version. Okay? This is the first translation into English. This is the first translation into English of the Bible by a man named William Tyndale. He was burned at the stake for doing two things. One, for translating the Bible into English, he was burned at the stake. And two, he was burned at the stake for not saying the word church. For the word ecclesia, he used the word congregation. Everybody say congregation. And here we are, I'm looking in Matthew, the same verse I just read in my NASB version. I'm going to read the 1526. "When Jesus came unto one of the cities which is called the area Philippi, I'm trying to read this old English, he heard his disciples saying, 'Whom do ye say that the Son of Man am?' They said that you are John, some say you are John the Baptist, some say Elijah, Some say Jeremiah, the prophet of Moses, I guess. He said unto them, "But who have you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "Thou art Christ, the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Happy art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, for the Lord hath not opened that for the oh Lord, I can't, and it's hard to read. Something have not opened unto you." In other words, man did not tell you that, but my Father which is in heaven, and I have said unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my congregation. Oh my. I will build my congregation. 1526, Tyndale version, the original English translation of the Bible from Greek. Ekklesia means assembly of the called out ones, or it means the congregation, the people. That never meant church, the word church. Okay, what? So where do we get church? You can get one of these. This is translated. This is the British Library, Hendrickson Bibles, New Testament, 1526. You can get it and read it for yourself. I put it in highlighting. Every word where it would say church in your modern Bible, in your NIV, and your New Living Translation, and your Parallel Bible, and your Amplified Bible, and your NASB. And you're at King James. And by the way, the King James is simply this version, pretty much, with the word church put in instead of congregation. That's what they did. They took this translation that Tyndale did, and they killed Tyndale. They burned him at the stake, but they took his translation, made the King James out of it, and they put the word church instead of... Why did they change the word congregation to church? We're going to look and see, okay? It all depends on how you interpret that word, ekklesia. And so I'm going to explain it to you. All right? Praise the Lord. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to explain Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18 says, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build either my church or my congregation." According to Tyndale, it's congregation, 1526. According to the King James, it's my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Which one is the real truth? Because if it's congregation, and listen to me, guys, he's talking to Jews. He's a Jewish man, Jewish Messiah, Jewish Son of God, Jewish God, God of Israel, going to sit on David's throne. Amen. Luke chapter 1. When he talks to Mary, he said he's going to come back and he's going to sit on David's throne. Is David's throne a British throne?
No.
Is David's throne a Greek throne? No. Is David's throne a Danish throne? No. Is David's throne a Spanish throne?
No.
David's throne is a Jewish throne, and it says, I believe, in Luke chapter 1, it says he's going to come and he's going to be the one who will sit on the throne of David. I can't find the verse here in Luke 1, but if somebody can find that. Okay, here in the sixth month. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Miriam, Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Yeshua," Jesus. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David." Oh my goodness. That's chapter 1 of Luke, verse 32. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Folks, the kingdom that he's going to sit on, that he's going to rule, is a Jewish kingdom. Somebody get excited. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. He's going to sit on David's throne, a Jewish kingdom. Okay? What did David know about a church? Nothing. What did Moses know about a church? Nothing. There was no church. What did Peter know about a church? Nothing. There was no church. There was no church when Peter existed. The church came later, after Peter. He knew about the temple, and he knew about the sect of the Nazarenes. They were called Christians at Antioch 10 years after the crucifixion and the resurrection. They were called Christians by the Greeks in Antioch. But Stephen, was Stephen a Christian? St. Stephen, the one who got stoned for testifying about Jesus as the Messiah at the very beginning, before Paul was, in Acts chapter 7, was Stephen a Christian? If the word Christian didn't come till 10 years after the crucifixion. He was a believer. Was the thief on the cross a Christian? No. But Yeshua said to him, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Are you listening? Are you hearing me? Okay, so let's look up this word church. Matthew 16:18. For an explanation of ecclesia, I'm going to read David Stern, page 54. Okay, so this is David Stern's Jewish New Testament commentary. And I'm going to read page 54 where it says community. And it says, we can only speculate on whether this homily was known in Yeshua's day. Community, the Greek word ekklesia, which means called out ones, and is used in the Septuagint. Septuagint was a Greek translation of the Old Testament 250 years before the birth of Jesus. Okay, so the word ekklesia, which means called out ones, and is used in the Septuagint before the birth of Jesus. The word ekklesia existed to mean the assembly of the called out ones, or a gathering, an assembly, or congregation. To translate Hebrew, it was the translation of the Hebrew word in Greek, kahal. Everybody say kahal. This is a kahila. This is a congregation. The word for congregation in Hebrew is kahila. Kahila. So the Greeks called it ekklesia, but the word in Hebrew for a congregation or assembly is kahal or kahilah. Okay, the usual English translation of ekklesia, church, and from it comes the word ecclesiastical, meaning having to do with the church. The Jewish New Testament sometimes uses messianic community or congregation. Remember, Tyndale used congregation in 1526 to render ecclesia as congregation. What is being spoken about is a spiritual community of people based on trust in God, believers, and His Son, the Messiah, Yeshua. This can be all people throughout history who so commit themselves, or a group of such people, at a particular time and place, such as the messianic community in Corinth or Jerusalem. The phrase, the ecclesia, that means in their house, Romans 16:5, refers to a particular congregation. Unlike church, ecclesia never refers to a building or an institution. Ooh, that affects understanding. It never refers to an institution or a building, David Stern, the author of the Jewish New Testament commentary, wrote. Okay, so what does it mean? Let's read on here. According to Graham Hancock, the word church derives its etymology from the word circe or circe. So I'm not sure if it's circe or circe. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, Old Saxon, kirka, in German, kirk, in Scottish, kirk also, kirk or cirque, was also the name of the daughter of the sun god. And the word church comes from the word kirk. Okay? It actually, in Greek, it comes from the word kariakon. Everybody say kariakon. Kariakon. That's where you get the word kirk. Have you ever heard of Dunkirk? Yeah. Have you ever heard the German word for kirk? Yeah. Amen? In Scottish, it's a kirk. A kirk is the word for church. And also, the word Circe, the Greek, C-I-R-C-E, brings us the word circus. A lot of people out there are looking not for a spiritual experience, they're looking for a circus. They go to church looking for entertainment. Amen? And that's exactly what the word, connects to the word circus. It also connects to the word circle. What do you see when you go to a circus? Three circles, right? Praise the Lord. I'm not saying the church is a circus, but I'm saying in many cases, I don't want to be judgmental, but in many cases, a lot of people are looking for entertainment. So according to Grant Hancock, the word church derives its etymology from the Greek word kariakon, Circe. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, Old Saxon kirka, German kirk, kirka or Circe was also the name of the daughter of the sun god, who was famous for taming wild animals for her circus. Circle also comes from Circe. Ecclesia, which translates in Hebrew to kahal, means congregation or assembly. It's the people, not a building. So understand this. In the Greek, the word ecclesia doesn't mean mosque. Does it? In the Greek, the word ecclesia doesn't mean a Buddhist shrine, does it? And in the Greek, ecclesia doesn't mean Christian church either. It doesn't mean it. What's the word for church in Greek? Kariakon or kirk or Circe. Kariakon. Are you following that? Okay. So why did they change the word? Why did they translate church for ecclesia when they knew that the word was kariakon or circ or kirk? Why did they change the word? And who changed it? Well, it was the Byzantine church, which you know is the Catholic Church, who changed it. It was the Catholics who put it in the Bible. And in the Latin, they used it in the Vulgate, and they were the ones who burned. Actually, it might have been the Protestants. They were pretty strict too. King James. There was a little confusion about. They were trying to decide whether they were Protestant or Catholic in 1606, 1607. They were not quite sure. There was, even the kings. Henry VIII was. Well, King James was a Protestant. Henry VIII was a little bit, he played both sides. But they were killing each other. Do you know the Protestants and the Catholics were killing each other? So kariakon is the Greek word for church, building, not ekklesia. The house of kurios equals the Lord. Don't take my word, people. You look this up. Look up the word kariakon. Look up the word kirk, and you'll see that it means church and not ekklesia. Okay, so kariakon is the house of kurios, or the Lord. The word for the Lord in Greek is kurios, and that means, it doesn't mean the Lord of Israel, it means Lord, just means the word for Lord. It can be a false god. So it's totally different meaning than ekklesia, or kahal in Hebrew. Kahal means congregation. This is a kahal or a kahila, which is means that we're a messianic congregation. That's why we call ourselves Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. And we don't call ourselves church because kahal means congregation or assembly or community. The change was made by the church, by the Catholic Church. And this is the quote. Let us
Let us, Father, use the scriptural assembly or congregation and renounce the word that is derived from Circe or Kirk, the daughter of the Greek sun deity, says Hancock. He's praying. He's saying, let us, Father, use the scriptural word assembly or congregation. He's exhorting Christians. Now, I'm not telling you to... I'm not saying, Christian friends watching, I'm not telling you to stop going to church. I'm not telling you to stop calling it a church. This has to do with the time of the Gentiles and the times of the Jews. In the time of the Gentiles, your ancestors, your pastors 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, they could call it whatever they want. You go to church, God shows up. I'm not trying to fight you. I'm just telling you the truth of the word's meaning, okay? I love Christians. You've seen pastors in this pulpit. I have no beef with Christians who attend a church, who love the Jewish people, who love Messianics, who love me, those who hate me. I love them anyway, but there are plenty of those who don't like me because I'm Jewish and I'm a believer in Jesus and I'm not a Christian. I'm a Messianic. And if you don't believe that, read Romans 11. It says the olive tree belongs to the Jews. So we get to call ourselves whatever we want. You can read that in Romans 11. But I love the church. I love Christians. And I actually believe there needs to be a church. But with that said, the word isn't in the Bible. How do you interpret Matthew 16:18 will affect your worldview of Christianity? If you're open-minded to what I'm saying, how you interpret when Yeshua said to Peter, on this rock I will build my ecclesia, what did he mean? Well, if we understand, if you look it up, the word kariakon, the word kirk, or the word Circe, C-I-R-C-E, you'll come up with church in Greek. But if you look up the word ecclesia, you'll come up with the word, the true meaning of ecclesia, you'll come up with congregation or assembly, not church. Look it up yourself, study it. So if we understand this, so in Matthew 16:18, if you changed the whole, what Jesus was saying to Peter, to congregation instead of church, you're not creating a new organization. You're just continuing the congregation of Israel. Amen? You're continuing the congregation of Israel. You're just bringing the Messiah into it and you're fixing it. You're taking a broken congregation of Israel and you're restoring it. Everybody say restore. You're restoring the assembly of Israel to its proper meaning and you're bringing the Messiah. And so Israel, who was once, as I said in Hosea before, following idols, God says, I will allure you, I'll bring you back to me, I'll make you my bride. Read Hosea 2 and 3. You'll see God restores Israel. In Romans 11, he promises to restore Israel. Isaiah 14, read it. 1, he says, I will again choose Jacob, he says. I will again bring it, Jacob back to me. I'll restore Israel. Read Isaiah 14:1. So it's all in how you interpret that key scripture, that watershed linchpin scripture in Matthew 16, where the Catholics wrote church, but they did that for a reason. They wrote church where it isn't there. Ecclesia doesn't mean church. Kariakon, Circe, C-I-R-C-E, Kirk, those are the words. You can look them up yourself. Mean church. Ecclesia means assembly, congregation, or community. Why did they put church there? They knew what they were doing. They put it there to separate from the Jews, to create a new institution. Remember, a church is an institution. A church is like the Catholic Church, is an institution. They intentionally created an institution in Matthew 16 that built on Peter, they said. It was all man-made, and it created the Catholic Church. The Protestants got a hold of it in 500-600 years ago, and they split away. Unfortunately, the Protestants didn't protest enough. They didn't reform enough. They kept a lot of the Catholic ways, and they didn't break off completely. And one of the things they kept was church. They kept Sunday worship, sun worship. Remember, the word Circe means the sun goddess. They kept Christmas and Easter, which were Catholic, come from the pagan origins. I'm not telling you to stop celebrating them. God bless you. Let God tell you if he wants you to stop celebrating Christmas and Easter, which come from pagan origins. If you don't believe me, look them up. Google them. The origins of Christmas and Easter. Look, Google the origin of Yule. Yule was a pagan god. Not just an actor who played in, what was that movie he was famous for, Yul Brynner? The King and I. He wasn't just a famous actor in The King and I. He was a false god. He was a Germanic god, false god. Okay, let's go on here. So if we understand this correctly, then we understand that Ephesians 5:27, let's go back. We read it before. Oh, this is heavy here. This is gonna hit you. Ephesians 5:26, we'll start. So that he might, Yeshua, might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the congregation in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Wow, that has a whole different meaning. If you understand that ecclesia means assembly, congregation, or community, it's Jewish. He's saying the one who's coming back, Luke chapter 1, he's coming back to sit on the throne of David, a Jewish throne. He's a Jewish Messiah. He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Zechariah 8 says Jerusalem is going to be his eternal dwelling place. Folks, he's Jewish. And you know what? You don't have to stop being Scottish or Irish. He loves you. He says every tribe will see. And every tribe will mourn. Every color. Whatever tribe you are. Some may be called to be messianic. If God's calling you to come to the messianic, come. He calls one from a town, two from a city. Come and join us if God's calling you. If you don't have, you know, but if you're called to be in the church, be in the church, and attend the church of His choice, not your choice, His choice. Praise God. But the word ecclesia doesn't mean church. Okay, let's read on. So if we understand this correctly, Ephesians 5:27, he doesn't say that the church is his bride. He says the congregation is his bride. And remember I said in Hosea, listen up, this is bringing it home. I said in Hosea, he betrothed himself to Israel, and that the calling to be betrothed to Israel is eternal. It's without repentance. Romans 11:29, it's without repentance. It's irrevocable. So Israel is the bride. So who are the ones that he's talking to here? When he says the word that he might present to himself the congregation, Ephesians 5:27, without spot or wrinkle, he's talking about Jew and non-Jew grafted into the olive tree of Romans 11. Read Romans 11. Read Romans 11, where the wild branches, the Gentiles, are grafted in, those who believe in the Messiah, into the olive tree. And he says, if we Jews don't continue in our unbelief like me, we will be grafted into our own olive tree. Israel will be grafted in. And you know what we Messianic Jews call our olive tree? We call it Messianic Judaism. That's what we Jews call our tree in Romans 11. Read it. Study to show thyself approved. Praise God, I'm almost done. Okay, so if we understand the meaning of ecclesia, that it is not the Greek word for church, but kariakon is the actual word for church. It's not in the Bible there. ecclesia in Matthew 16 or in Luke here. I'm sorry, Ephesians 5:27. Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. The word he says for church is ecclesia. Means community, means congregation, means assembly. Does not mean the institution of the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church. It just means all the believers who join themselves to Israel. That's who the bride is. I said today I was going to tell you who the bride is. The bride is Israel and those who join with her, who sojourn with the Jewish people. I'm going to prove that to you. I'm just going to show you a couple more verses, then we're going to close. Numbers 15:14. Numbers 15:14. I'll read it to you. If an alien or a foreigner or Gentile sojourns with you, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so he shall do. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute, and the word in Hebrew is kahal, or congregation. There shall be one statute for you and for the alien, the Gentile, who sojourns with you. So in other words, if a Gentile comes to your Messianic synagogue and dwells with you and lives among you, there shall be one statute, one law, one Torah for the non-Jew as there is for the Jew, a perpetual statute throughout all your generations. As you are, Messianic Rabbi Joe, so shall the Gentile, the alien, be before the Lord. There is one law, one ordinance for you and for the alien who dwells with you. Okay, praise God. Numbers 15. There's no distinction, therefore, between Jew and Gentile when we dwell together. Praise God. Let's look at another verse, Isaiah 56. Are you enjoying this? I'm almost done. Isaiah 56. This is a wonderful verse, and this is going to blow you away, what I'm going to tell you here. Isaiah 56. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who takes hold of it. How blessed are you if you get this. Who keeps from profaning the Sabbath. Today is the Sabbath, folks. How blessed is the man who keeps from profaning it. Read Nehemiah if you want to know what profaning the Sabbath is. Just read the book of Nehemiah. Someone tried to carry a load of bricks into the city or a load of wood. Nehemiah had them stoned, I think. They broke the Sabbath. Well, we're under the new covenant, so we don't stone people. But God will bless you. The blessings are still there. The curses aren't. Amen? Unless you continue in sin. If you continue in wickedness, like adultery, stealing, sexual immorality, if you continue in wickedness and sin, you will be judged. You know, you can be cut off. But if you truly belong to God, you're not going to do that. You're not going to continue in it. But let's read on Isaiah 56:2. How blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath. By the way, Sabbath isn't 4th of July. Veterans Day isn't Columbus Day. Christmas isn't Hanukkah. Thanksgiving isn't Secretary's Day. And Sabbath isn't Sunday. In the Bible, it said in Luke 4, as was his custom, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. That was Saturday. Okay? You go to Israel, you take it from the rabbi. You can look up the Jewish Sabbath. It's Saturday. Always was, always will be. Because the Jewish calendar, the week, is numbered by days. Yom Echad is Sunday. Yom Sheni is Monday. That's the second day. Yom Sheni means two. Yom Shlishi is Tuesday. That's the third day. Yom Rivi'i is the fourth day. It's Wednesday. Yom Chamishi is the fifth day. That's Thursday. Yom Shishi is Friday, and Shabbat is Sabbath, Saturday. Always was, always will be. You can't turn the 4th of July into Veterans Day or Memorial Day. It's the way it is. Okay, let's read on. Let not the foreigner, verse 3, who has joined himself to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Who are his people in Isaiah? There's no church. It's the Jews. This is the time of the Jews back in Isaiah. This was the time of the Jewish people. And the foreigner, he's saying, let not the foreigner who's joined himself to the Lord, like Rahab, amen, like Ruth, way back in the Old Testament, let not the foreigner who joins himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. In other words, please, Lord, don't cut me off from your people, Israel. This is, get this, this is awesome, promise to you, non-Jews who keep his Sabbath. He says, nor let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dried tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, which includes his feasts, and who, because his feasts are Sabbaths too, who choose what pleases me, he says, and hold fast my covenant. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial to the Gentile, a name better than that of sons and daughters. What's a name better than sons and daughters? How about bride? What's a better name? God said, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Which is a more important relationship? The mother, the husband and wife, or the parent and child? The husband and wife is the primary relationship. The secondary relationship is the parent and child. The tertiary, the third relationship, is the parent and the grandchild. Do you understand? So what name is better than sons and daughters? Bride. How do you become a bride? Let not the Lord separate me from his people. To the eunuch, to the foreigner who keeps my Sabbaths, comes to the Messianic synagogue and worships with the Jewish people and dwells with them. I read Numbers 15:14. Who dwell, there'll be one law, one Torah. They'll be the same. They'll be like a natural born. Let me look at one more scripture. Ezekiel 47. This is in the millennium here. This is in the millennium. Ezekiel 47:21, when the Messianic Jews have come back into the land and all Israel's are believers and the Gentiles who joined with us, this is what he says in Ezekiel 47:21, so you shall divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. See that he in the law, according to the law of Jubilee in Leviticus 25, he has to give the land back to the tribes. That's why he's calling the Jews from the nations. We all have to go back. We Jewish people, he's calling us back to fulfill the law of Jubilee in Leviticus 25, where he promises to restore the Jewish people and the tribes to the nations. He also promised Abraham in Genesis 15 and in many other verses that he would give Israel from the land, from the brook of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River to the descendants of Isaac, not to the descendants of Ishmael. Somebody gave me this. Not to the descendants of Ishmael, Isaac's brother, but to the descendants of Isaac. That's through the promise. That was the son of Abraham that God said, I will make my covenant with Isaac, not with Ishmael. Now, he did bless Ishmael, but he didn't give him the promise of the land. Amen? Okay, so let's go on here. So in verse chapter 47:21, so you shall divide this land. This is in the millennium. You shall divide it by lot for an inheritance among yourselves and among the aliens. Ooh, the foreign, the Gentiles who stay in your midst. The Christians who bring forth sons in your midst. And they shall be to you as native born among the sons of Israel. They shall be allotted an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. That's the blessing of being a Messianic non-Jew. He's saying, you'll be treated as a natural born Israelite and given an inheritance. He says, and in the tribe with which the alien stays, there you shall give him his inheritance, declares the Lord God. This is in the millennium. And who does he tell to give the Gentile his inheritance? He tells the Jew. He says, you give him his inheritance. Whatever tribe he's hanging out with, we're Lion of Judah. Maybe we're the tribe of Judah. I don't know. He's certainly given me enough lions, that's for sure. And he told me to call this place Lion of Judah. There's a flag back there that says Lion of Judah. There's another one. He's certainly given us a name. Maybe we're connected to the Judah. I don't know. I just know I'm 99.9% Jewish by DNA test. And 1% American, Native American. 0.1%. Yeah, 1%. or 0.1%. Probably Mongolian or Siberian, because that's where the Native Americans came from. Anyway, and a lot of Jews went up to Mongolia and Siberia. But anyway, so conclusion, nowhere in the New Testament actually did the New Testament actually say that the church replaced Israel as the bride. It didn't say it anywhere. You can't show it to me. You can try, but I don't think you'll find it. This is a Catholic teaching, a Catholic understanding that has been passed down to Protestants and other denominations and non-denominations, non-denominational church, to church of laugh out loud. Oh, that's what I said, laugh out loud. Ha, ha, ha. Tyndale was burnt at the stake for translating the Bible to English and for calling Tyndale, Tyndale wrote this original translation of the English Bible in 1526. Buy it. You'll see church isn't in the English translation. He was burnt at the stake for writing it in English because the Catholic Church wanted it in Latin. They wanted to keep the people dumb because the average Joe didn't read Latin, didn't understand it, and the Catholic Church wanted to keep the people dumb, keep the masses dumb so they could do whatever they want with them and teach, I won't go on with that. All right, so Tyndale was burnt at the stake for translating the Bible to English and calling church, congregation, but was he right on both? He was right on both counts. I'm sorry to rock your world, but God never betrothed himself to a church. Church is an institution. Only to the congregation of Israel. Hosea 2:19, 2 Corinthians 11:2. Again, he betrothed himself. Paul betrothed him to an ecclesia, to a congregation. Not a kariakon. Look it up. Not a circe or a kirk or a kirk or a circle, whatever. Look up the word kariakon. Look up circe, C-I-R-C-E. You'll see that's where church comes from. Also circus and circle and circulate. He didn't say church in Ephesians 5:27. He said congregation, community. The community is Jew and Gentile. The community is a mixture of Jews and non-Jews. And he betrothed himself to Israel. How do you become the bride and not one of the guests? Remember, I said I would read Revelation. This is the last verse, 19:7 today. We'll continue next week. We'll continue with the order of things. Next week, we're going to look at the order of events of the tribulation. We'll look at the order of the coming of the Lord. We'll look at the order of coming in the clouds, of the catching away. We'll look at the order of judgment and where it all fits in and why he comes to judge the earth. We're going to talk about it next week. So come back next week. Sign up for our newsletter. If you would like to make a contribution, you can do so online. If you've been blessed by this teaching, you'd like to support our ministry, the website's right there. You can make a secure donation on PayPal. Let's read Revelation 19:7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Who are the guests at the wedding? The bride are the Christians who join themselves to Israel. Remember in Hosea 2, God betrothed himself to Israel, And any Christian who joins with us, Numbers 15:14, Isaiah 56, Ezekiel 47:21, any Christians who join themselves to the Messianic Jewish people are the bride. All others who forsake Israel and who reject Israel, you can love Jesus and it have nothing to do with the Jews. There's going to be nice tables for you to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb while you watch Israel get married to the Lord. There's going to be beautiful tables, lovely meals set out for you while you sit and watch Israel get married to the Lord, because you thought that the church replaced Israel, and you were wrong because your pastor fed you false teaching and you believed wrong stuff. And if I'm preaching tough and stepping on your toes, I'm sorry, but I love you, and that's the truth. Please stand as I'm going to bless you. Hallelujah. Isaac, if you'll get ready. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing on your people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the Lord remind you that the times of the Gentiles are coming to an end. Jesus said in Luke 21, and the times of the Jews will start again. Be prepared. Be ready. Join with the Jewish people. Shabbat shalom. Thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh man, that was a pastoral thesis. That was meat. Meaty, beady, big and bouncy.